Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Jim. We got Tyler. It is another Thursday night. We back. What's up?
What's going on, everybody? I haven't been on with all of you in a while, I feel like.
Yeah. I guess 2 weeks, right?
It's been at least a couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, the gang has not been together for a long time, I don't think.
It's been, you know, nice. What though? We're all here to talk about this weekend coming up, which should be pretty fun.
It's like, you know something. What's happening this weekend, Jim?
It's Paul Skeens Day on Saturday. What? Paul Skeens Day.
Say it again.
On Saturday. It's going to be actually a hell of a weekend. Jared Jones, Paul Skeens, Mitch Keller, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You really can't beat that.
We'll find out. The Cubs might. But for entertainment value, you really can't.
Nah, it's going to be a good weekend.
No, very excited. Like, really, I felt like we were in a point as Pirates fans of just misery, and maybe we get a little bit of uptick here.
Did I lose you guys?
Well, your face is kind of stuck. But
Lord, Jim, can we have one show without this happening?
I tried moving my computer so I could center myself, because I was just kind of seeping a little bit over here to the right, and I must have messed with some cords.
It's cool, Jim. We still love you.
I love you too.
Let's level set here. Tell you what, before we level set, let me tell you a little bit about something here. Let me tell you about Bet Online and how Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Are we good to start this show off right now?
I think we're good. Tyler's just straight chugging water from a gallon jug. I love it.
Listen,
it's vodka.
No, it's gotta be. But like, you guys don't know my life that well. I have one of these next to me all the time.
Oh, I know. I know you do. You usually don't drink it, though.
I don't, but I'm thirsty tonight. Like, I've been running around like a maniac.
This is great here, by the way. Dave says, I was going to take my wife out for Mother's Day on Saturday, but now, watching the game. Showtime, baby. Paul Skeens is here.
Yeah. You know, give her a spa day. Like, give her a $100 gift certificate for a massage. Have her go do that while you watch the game. Everybody wins.
DiNardo, did we like maybe plan this really well? Who's on that post game that night?
I am. Are you two?
Who's with you?
I don't remember. Like I said on the emergency pod last night, I was like, it's one of you two. I don't remember who it is.
Nah, it's baby boy right here.
Pound, pound, tie, tie. Boom. Let's get it.
There we go.
I'm just going to hop on it.
No, you're
more the merrier. You know what? I was trying to get a little Jim and tie action. I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah. Oh, well. I've got a Friday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to want to do that.
Yeah. Jared Jones and Paul Skeens back to back.
Yeah. It's a good weekend in general, though. You already mentioned it, but it's a good weekend.
Now, we talked about Paul coming up. There's also another person coming up. So the Pirates weren't done. And like everyone was talking about, like, why call it Paul Skeens now? Like, the pitching, they don't need to worry about the pitching. They need offense here. And, guys, Nick Gonzalez getting called back up to the big leagues, too. So two moves before the big homestand coming up. Maybe a little shock. Maybe some rejuvenation. Maybe some Pirates are saying, you know, we better get things going here. I don't know, but they're at least doing something.
Yeah, it's good to see. They had to do something, right? Like, the status quo isn't acceptable. That Angels series, you look at it, they scored four runs in two separate games, but there were 27 innings of baseball played that series, and the Pirates scored in two of the 27 innings. So, like, there is still just, like, there's still just major, major issues with this offense. I don't know if Nick Gonzalez is going to solve it, right? But he can't be worse. And if he can provide some sort of spark plug, then I'm all for it. This is a well-deserved call-up, by the way. He's raking the ball. .358 batting average, .431 on base percentage, .608 slugging percentage. He's got like 14 doubles, I want to say. Leads AAA in that. He's been one of the best hitters in all of AAA. So, yeah, well-deserved call-up. Strikeout numbers are way, 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 way down from what we've seen pretty much his entire career. So, yeah, it's time to give him another shot.
Yeah, like, we've been clamoring for a little while. But the big thing about Nick Gonzalez, one, he's 25 years old. It's now or never for him, because going into next year, he's probably one of those guys on the chopping block, I think, if he doesn't do anything this year. Looking at it, like, he's more upright in his stance right now, which, like, anybody that watches any Twitter videos, they can look at it and see a different batting stance. But he's hitting .270 on his breaking balls this year compared to, I think it was .190 in the minors last year on breaking stuff. I could be wrong on that, but he is attacking the breaking stuff a lot better. Look, I don't know if it's a stance. I don't know if it's a bat path. Last year, I did have some issues with the bat path, and I don't know that he kept it in the zone long enough. It does seem like there's a change there with him. I don't know that I'm buying all the way in with Nick Gonzalez right now, but I do feel like there's a change with him.
And I think all of that's fair. Like, I don't know if I'm truly buying into him as well. You could say he's a 25-year-old repeating AAA. Who is he? Is he really the guy that you've been thinking he is? I can't say all this time, because early on we felt like he's going to overcome the obstacles he's putting himself into, but it seems like that's the player he's been. So it's like, is he really the guy he's been all this time, or is he this like new improved Nick Gonzalez at this point in time? I don't know. There are encouraging things, like Tyler talked about, right? I mean, like, the strikeouts have dropped tremendously. He's basically almost in half, like, the K rate, almost in half that he's improved upon. You know, he's hitting the ball better, but at the same time, like, it doesn't matter at this point. Yes, he has to prove it. He has to earn himself. It's do or die at this point in time, but no one on the major leagues is doing anything at all anyways. So, like, they need to get out of there. He is hot. He's earning it at this point in time. Whether it's fluky or not fluky, we don't know yet, but he's earning the right to prove it. And at this point in time, just that alone, like, he might not even be that great of a player, but he's probably going to be better. Like Jim said, he can't be any worse. And maybe this shakes things up. Maybe he is hot and he goes on to do whatever. But I mean, I'm all for it.
Dan, I want to say here, you know, you could say same old Nick Gonzalez, right? There's a comment here. Nick Gonzalez has killed AAA before, comes up to the big, strikes out consistently. He's never killed AAA like this, and he's never done it the way he's doing it right now. Last year in AAA, he struck out 26.6% of the time. This year it's down to 17.5. Last year, yeah, the OPS was like 886. This year it's 1,039, right? So, like, this is a different Nick Gonzalez from what we saw last year. And if the question is, hey, who should start at second base on Friday night to give the Pirates the best chance to win? The answer is Nick Gonzalez. It's not Jared Triolo. It's not Alika Williams. It's Nick Gonzalez right now. He's your best option. So that's why he's here.
I don't know if I completely agree with that, because obviously we don't know what's coming from him. But at the very least, I think we're at a point where the Pirates have to ride that hot bat. And maybe in that sense, you're correct, but Triolo has played an excellent second base, I think. At some point, though, the bat has to play, and it hasn't played with Triolo. Right now, it's playing with Nick Gonzalez in AAA, and he's doing everything really that were concerns about Nick Gonzalez coming into this year. The strikeout rate that Donardo and yourself mentioned, it's cut in half. We're not talking about a guy that just is able to hit the baseball after the All-Star break. We're in May, and now he's hitting the baseball. And every other concern is pretty much gone. I don't want to say it, guys, but I'm buying in Nick Gonzalez. I'm sorry. I'm buying in. I like the guy I'm seeing right now.
I'm in a complete wait and see. I'm not buying it. I'm not discrediting. I'm just saying, hey, it's different. Let's find out. That's all I'm going to stand on right now with Nick Gonzalez. But
yeah, I'm on the same boat as you.
But let's add to this also. Two things here. Tyler says he's not ready to say that. Well, I just put this out, and this is like apples to oranges to a degree. Yes, Jared Triolo has actually played defensively really good at second base, so there is that aspect of it. But Jared Triolo has a 62 weighted runs created plus. Nick Gonzalez last year had a 64. So really what you're saying is Nick Gonzalez sucked last year.
No, he's terrible.
He doesn't deserve to be in the major leagues. He's so bad. And yet that performance is a little bit better than what Jared Triolo is doing at the plate right now. So that's where we're going at. Like, it probably can't get any worse. Like, at Nick Gonzalez is terrible, awful. Get this guy off the team. He was better. So just to kind of show, you know, where we stand right now in that aspect of it. But what I want to say too about Nick Gonzalez is all the things you talked about, that's different, like cool. But here's the thing too. Jim talked about he was at a 26% strikeout rate last year. What got there? Because like he's done every single year of his career, he's been pathetic to start. And then like he gets there, right? He's always started out striking out. It's like, oh my God, what's going on with Nick Gonzalez? By the end of the year, you're like, okay, things maybe are okay. Things might be fine. He's starting out very, very strong this year also, you know? So like, that's also what's encouraging here. Again, just kind of add that in there. There's a lot of things that are encouraging. There's other things that's going right for him right now. And yes, like he is the hot hand. Jared Triolo is not. So just take your chances with the guy that is.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. Like, Jared Triolo is hitting worse than Nick Gonzalez was last year. If Nick Gonzalez is just the same as he was last year, it's not any worse than what we're getting right now. If he's better, then it's an improvement. So go out there, and I think it was Brett here said, you know, you can't call him up here to sit on the bench. Like, call up Nick Gonzalez. The bat is hot. Put him in the lineup every day for 2 weeks and just see what happens. reassess things after a while, but like give him a little bit of run, give him 50 plate appearances over a 2 week span and see what happens.
I agree. You got to ride the hot bat at some point, whether he cools off or not. That it is what it is, but it's better than what you're getting.
Yep. That's an easy call. And again, like outside of just the fact that, is he going to be better? At least it's different. You can't keep trying out the same thing when for 26 games, it's been the worst offense in baseball. At least it's something different. Like at least it's something different. Maybe this just sparks something with the team to get them going a little bit. Who knows? And even like I kind of talked about this a little bit before, maybe it is a flash in the pan. Maybe Nick Gonzalez isn't that dude. If he can at least come up here and just be hot for two more weeks and then become Nick Gonzalez, at least he was hot those 2 weeks. Maybe he helps the rest of the team get back to where they are by doing that. And then they can reset and you find Jared Triolo back at second base in a month from now or whatever, who knows. But like at least they're doing something different. We know it's not going to be the coaching, right? It's just simply not going to happen yet. So all you really have is player personnel.
But also, like, I'm on board with Nick Gonzalez has made enough changes to me. I might be buying back in.
You do know ball.
I think I'm buying back in here, boys.
Except for another guy we're going to talk about here later.
Yeah, I mean, I want to believe. I've been a huge Nick Gonzalez fan from the get-go, right?
Jim just has a personal investment in Nick Gonzalez and his 9,000 Nick Gonzalez rookie cards.
I've got way too many Nick Gonzalez baseball cards. I need this dude to be good.
But like, if you watch him compared to last year, one, you see, if you look at Baseball Savant, obviously the breaking stuff, he's hitting it a lot better and it's a small sample size. It's May 9th. Obviously you're not really getting the full story here, but the swing looks a touch different. He's a guy that is going to lift a baseball, obviously, which I think hurt him last year, which weirdly doesn't affect him on pitches that are up, but the breaking stuff has always been a problem with him. And he's hitting 270, I think one, maybe in that ballpark, off of breaking stuff this year in the minor leagues. Obviously, minor league stuff. He's 25. He's seen it multiple times. You got to challenge him a little more, at least. Like Ben Sherrington should. He's the initial investment here in this regime. Jared Triolo is doing nothing. This is the guy that, if he can figure it out, the talent is there. Like the hands are ridiculously quick. I think this guy can hit at a major league level. It's just that it hasn't worked out to this point. The talent is there. I want to see a little bit more.
Yeah. That's like, I can't really add much more to that.
Sorry, I just rambled.
Yeah, My hope is that they don't just call him up and play him three times a week. Like, play him every day. You can't just call a hot bat up from the minors and throw him out there three times a week.
They love doing that, the last regime.
They do. Even this one. Like, I mean, look what they did with Swaggerty and CSN. And I mean, they've done it with other guys. But yeah, don't do it this time. Play him.
So let's talk about the move then. Because you're talking about start him every day, can't do it 3 days, and sit the rest. So with that said, I mean, who's getting purged off this roster, whether it's a DFA or an option?
For Gonzalez, because I mean they do have to make two moves. But I think the corresponding move for Gonzalez, probably Triolo. I actually like Alika Williams on this team right now for the sole fact that he can play shortstop. And I think Triolo can do it, but the Pirates clearly don't. They've never really let him do it. Gonzalez can do it, but not as well, right? So yeah, I kind of like Aleca Williams in there as the guy who can play a decent defensive shortstop. And Aleca Williams deserves to be up here right now. He's like the only person who's proving his role. Like he's been given a role on this team and he's meeting expectations. He's exceeding expectations, if we're being honest. So nah, I think I'm sending Triolo down.
I agree with Jim. I think Triolo is the answer there. Basically for everything you just said. Like I can't really add much more to that. Aleca Williams can play shortstop. You need that backup shortstop, and he's playing well enough to not be sent down.
Is he though?
Better than Triolo.
See, that's where I'll say this. I think because of the shortstop defense, it probably is. And because, just like you said too, Jim, I wish they would give him more opportunities, Triolo, at shortstop. Doesn't seem as if they are, because him being like that true utility guy that can play everywhere around the diamond would add him so much more value. And like, had they been doing that, I think I would safely say Triolo stays right now. But what I'm alluding to is Aleca is 3 in his last 24. He's cooled off a lot lately. Now, granted, everyone's basically 3 in the last 24 for the Pirates, so he just kind of fits right in. But he's cooled off a lot. Like the early part of the season has kind of, I mean, he's a 73 weighted runs created plus. This isn't like the Aleca Williams where at the early part of the season, like, oh, he's the third best hitter on the team so far. He's cooled off a lot. He's not that much better than Triolo either. It's just a saving grace for him is his defense. He can play both sides. He plays second and short. Triolo can play third, which helps him too, but so can Nick Gonzalez. So I think maybe that's why Aleca stays, is just because of the defense. But I just want to put it out there, like, Aleca is not, you could say he's exceeding expectations because the expectations were so low.
They were very low. Yeah.
So it doesn't take too much, but it's not as if he's like, it's a very easy decision to say, you know, Aleca Williams at this point in time too.
It is, but I also think that at some point you want to get Jared Triolo every day at bats, because I still do think he has some sort of future here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why I go him going down, so that he gets those at bats and that Aleca Williams can be more of that fill in type of guy, because he doesn't have a future here.
That's also fair. I can buy into that. Although you could make the argument, if you would play shortstop, you could find closer to everyday at bats with second, short, third.
But probably, yeah, I think that Tyler brings up a good point there. Like Triolo is struggling at the plate right now. Send him to AAA, kind of like the give him the Henry Davis treatment. Like, hey man, like something's off right now. You're not hitting the ball well. Go down, get at bats, you know, without putting too much pressure on yourself, and get better. Because like the team obviously still is going to need Jared Triolo at some point in time. But right now he's playing good defense, and that's about all you can say. But from offensively, he sucks. He sucks right now. Go down, get better.
Yep. Well, so I think it's Jared Triolo then. We're unanimously deciding.
But it could be Williams too, and that would be fine with me.
Okay, whatever. Fair enough.
No, I actually do think I'm with Jim. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I would like to see Jared Triolo get every day at bats, but if he's going to be moved into that utility role, that's probably the best fit for him.
Cool. So is it time to transition to the headline?
Yes.
We had the emergency pod last night. Neil and I were on it, talking about Paul Skenes. Let's talk some more. Paul Skenes making his debut this Saturday against the Chicago Cubs, right after Jared Triolo. Fellas, how excited are we?
Jared Triolo.
Jared Jones. Sorry. Jonesing for a Triolo.
I mean, I'm excited. I think I'm really excited. Yeah. I've seen Skeens pitch now 3 times in person. Every time, you know, he kind of blows you away. So the fact that we get to see him at the major league level now, and the fact that we get to do this, like, he made 9, 10, 11, 12 minor league starts since being drafted. He got drafted, I think, 301 days ago, I want to say, something to that effect. It's the fastest first overall pick to make his major league debut in like 35 years. I think what I like about the Pirates doing this in this situation too is, like, we trash the Pirates for service time manipulation all the time, right? And they proved it this year that, hey, they're willing to bend those rules that they have for special talents. They did it for Jared Jones. They haven't done that this century, right? Where they had a top prospect who had never played before open up on the opening day roster. Hasn't mm-hmm. happened since Chris Benson was the last one, right? So they're, you know, they kind of did that. And, like, it would be super easy for this team to just go out there and say, hey, he's got to check a few more boxes. He's got to check like 3 more weeks of boxes, right? Like, they could say that, right?
I still didn't ever want to hear that again.
Yeah. But they didn't. They were like, you know what? That was the final box he needed to check, was pitch on 4 days rest. Once he did that, they called him up. So kudos to the Pirates for actually doing this. He's a special talent. He deserves special treatment. I mean, it's kind of plain and simple. I'm really excited about the debut. I'm worried expectations are like super duper high. Like, the MLB account is tweeting 5 things a day about this. It's the most hyped
about this pitching, about Livy.
Livy, yeah. It's the most hyped pitching debut since Steven Strasburg. Like, it really is. And even then, if you want to say Steven Strasburg was in 2011, I want to say 2011.
Yeah.
With just how, like, yeah, social media and the internet is nowadays, like, this is going to be the most hyped pitching debut of all time.
That's a
good of all point. Time. Like,
although also it's 2010, just for the fact.
Okay. Yeah.
Correctors.
So yeah, this is the most hyped up pitching debut ever in baseball history.
Jimenez,
I don't know where to go from there.
I mean, like, honestly, he's not wrong though.
Right.
He's not wrong. Very happy. We know about what I said during our over-unders, where I didn't think he'd be up till June 10th. I didn't think there was a chance in hell that he was going to be up before the Super 2 deadline. I'm happy that the Pirates are doing it ahead of schedule. Granted, we'll see what happens going down the line here with them, but right now, very, very, very happy, because it's very obvious to anyone watching this guy throw, and we watched a lot of his outings because we did the Paul Skeens game day every single start last year.
Yeah.
We watch him in spring training. Like, we've seen a lot of Paul Skeens here. It's pretty obvious that this guy is not challenged by the minor leagues. It's time to challenge him. I don't know how it's going to go. I think he's ready. I don't expect anything other than very good pitching, and at the very, like, it's probably going to be excellent. Like, let's be honest here. The guy is ridiculous.
I'm hopeful for all that. Absolutely. You still have to remember, this is still a kid who's never pitched in the big leagues. Still the major leagues. Still a big jump from AAA to the majors. Right. And I just say this too, because you're not helping here, Tyler. Like, expectations are so high. And then there is a Jared Jones who did make that jump and is making the major leaguers look like kids, that it's like, well, that's just Jared Jones. So Paul Skeens to be up here and have a 0.93 ERA, striking out 27 per 9, right? Like, that's what he has to do. And he's still a rookie. Like, he's afforded the opportunity to come up and struggle because he's facing major league pitching for the first time. I just say I'm hopeful because I also just feel like, but how's that going to happen? I mean, just seeing what he's doing right now, like, how's that happen? He is making these guys who are still AAA players look like little children with a wiffle ball bat and just literally whiffing at it every single time. And there are other pitchers who made the jump that are very dominant who didn't do that. So it's like, if he's doing this with them, how doesn't he come up and just perform? So again, like, I know the thought, and that's what I'm hopeful for, but like, everyone also be reminded he's going to face major league batters for the very first time in his life. He might not be Jared Jones.
Not no, yet, he should least. Be, yeah.
But he could be.
But like, really, there was a great comment in there, like, washed up tough guy. Denard, are we going down to a mustache on Saturday?
No.
I might.
Okay. I'm not.
I got a baby mustache, but I might do it.
If Paul Skeens wins the World Series MVP, then I'll do it.
I think I'm going to do it on Saturday.
There you go. All right. I fully support it.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
I think I'm going to do it on Saturday. Well, you're not on Saturday.
That's true.
And yeah, you don't have a baby mustache. So, like, I think I'm going to do it.
I can't wait.
I'm going to do it.
No, but I mean, you said something there, DeNardo. You almost can't expect Jerry Jones like performance out of him. I mean, I think that would be unfair at this point. Projection systems right now are kind of all over the place with Paul Skeens. Steamer's got him at a 3.78 ERA projected this year. Zips is at 4.57. So they're kind of, that's a pretty big gap, right? But honestly, like, I would take either of those numbers, right? You take Paul Skeens and he's going to give you 6-7 innings of 4.5 ERA baseball for the rest of the year. We'll take it. I think we would expect more than that. Like, we're hoping that he's going to be very good. And I think he is going to be very good. I don't know if he's going to be sub 3 ERA good, like where Jared Jones is right now.
So you're saying sub 1?
Yeah, right. And I don't even know if the strikeout numbers are going to be where Jared Jones is right now. But he's going to be, I think he's going to do very well. And he's going to, he's going to win some games for the Pirates this year.
Well, let's hope. I mean, the offense needs a score for him to do that, though, too.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Unless, I mean, 1-0 wins.
But they're still scoring a run, though.
Right.
They got to do that.
But really, though, to put a little bit of a bow on this, and it's been an ugly year to this point, and it's really been an ugly rebuild. But if you look at it, you have Jared Jones, who's done what he has done at the major league level right now. You have Paul Skeens coming up. The hard part's figured out right there. The hardest part is finding that top two guys will win a playoff series. The Pirates potentially have those two guys. Maybe it's not this year. Probably not this year, but going forward, potentially two guys are there.
Yeah, I mean, you said it best. Like, this rotation now, and you can throw Keller in there too, right? Jones, Skeens, Jones, Keller. 1, 2, 3. That's a rotation built to win postseason baseball games. Now you got to get there, right? You got to get there. You got to build the team around them. But like you mentioned, that's the hard part. The hard part is finding the horses, the dudes who can go out there and pitch in big situations, give you big innings, get you big outs. And they've got them. Like, they found their top three guys. And if you want to add Bubba Chandler down the road, you want to add whoever, I don't care. But, like, they've got these three guys locked in for a long time now. The hard part's done. go out there and find some help for them so that they can, one, get to the postseason, and two, not lose every postseason game 2-1 or 2-0.
Right. But you're right. And like, I can't speak enough how much Jared Jones has become the X factor in this. Because Paul Skeens, that's what he drafted. And it's funny, like, now that Paul Skeens has been called up, right? We've been going back in our old videos and chopping some stuff up, like Jim Callis and Jay Johnson, you know, and whatnot. And it was funny, like, hearing what, you know, Callis was talking about, and just like, he was comparing him to Garrett Cole. And he's like, listen, I think he's better than Garrett Cole. He's got a better fastball than Garrett Cole. He's got a better slider than Garrett Cole did. He has better command than Garrett Cole did. He just dominates more than Garrett Cole. And it got me like excited all over again, because we know who Garrett Cole is. We saw Garrett Cole pitch. And this guy's better than Garrett Cole. And honestly, again, like, that was last year. So going back to what we just said, what big-time starting pitcher like Garrett Cole didn't do this amongst the other AAA players? He didn't make them look this silly. So, yeah, there is a lot of hype, you know? And then, like, and you go to the draft, and we were talking about the draft. It's like, you know, I know a lot of us wanted Dylan Cruz at the time. But the thing about Paul Skeens, well, like, the difference was Dylan Cruz gets you to the playoffs. Paul Skeens wins you the playoffs. So that's why you draft the Paul Skeens. And now there's just this Jared Jones who comes up too. You know, like, we thought the Pirates were lucky to have a Paul Skeens. And I have a Paul Skeens and a Jared Jones. And Mitch Keller just slides at number three. It's like you're talking about. I mean, go back 365 days ago, Jim, before Paul Skeens was drafted. Where is these pitching coming from? We were talking about how the Pirates have to find creative ways to flip and flip and flip, like keep bringing in prospects and talent. That way they can flip it for a deadline pitcher, you know, to get their ace that way. And now they potentially have two top dogs for like the next 6 years.
Honestly, you don't even have to rewind 12 months. Rewind 2 months. Rewind to spring training.
But I'm saying, like, at least they had Paul Skeens in the system. Before they even had Paul Skeens, there was nothing.
Right. But, you know, 3 months ago, it was like, how in the world are we going to get through this season with this pitching rotation? Right. Well,
that part too, yeah.
And now it's turned into, in a matter of 2 months, we went from, how are we going to get through a season with these guys, to, holy crap, we probably have the best starting rotation in the division, and it's one of the best in the National League. And that's not like it is. It's one of the best rotations in the National League, especially 1-4. Jones, I mean, Skeens, Keller, Perez. There's not too many better 1-4s in that. And then whoever's going to be number five, I think it's going to be Falter. Falter's been just fine, especially for a number five starter.
I want to add here, just like ERA-wise, the Pirates, oh, never mind. Let me get the starting pitching. Just as far as ERA goes, Pirates, the ninth best rotation in Major League.
That's pre-Skeens.
Pre-Skeens. As far as NL, the fourth lowest ERA. Again, pre-Skeens.
I think if you look at it, like, if this team can somehow figure out the easier part here, which is the bats, there's nobody that wants to see a Skeens, Jones, and as you mentioned, Keller is number three there. Nobody wants to see that in the playoffs. Not talking this year, but I think this year's still in limbo. But next year, potentially, if you are looking at the Skeens that we have seen to this point, Jared Jones we've seen to this point, and Mitch Keller that he's developed into, that's a Mets like mid-2010s rotation right there. Like, nobody wants to see that. If you can figure out the other part, you can get a deep run there. Like, you've got the money part of it figured out, and you can spend it elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part's taken care of now.
Find the bats and we're good.
Find, and I think it was, it may have been you two, but they don't even have to be that good offensively. I think it was yesterday on the Emergency Podcast, DeNardo and Neil, you were talking about the offense. It doesn't even have to be that good. It just has to be top 20. Like, give me a top 20 offense in Major League Baseball, and you're a playoff team.
It's got to be 2015 Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, sure, that would work. But yeah, I mean, like, they just have to not be terrible. If this offense is anything but terrible, you're winning some baseball games. If you can make sure that you win every game where you give up three or less runs, they're going to win some games because they're going to do that a lot.
I don't think we can hammer it home hard enough. You have the hard part figured out. Like the Eduardo Rodriguez, we don't have to go get that guy now. You got three good to great pitchers, and you got two that look electric. They're here. And they're cheap.
And there's still a lot in the pipeline, too. Again, they're farther away. They're more prospects, more unknown. But just to put out there, like Bubba Chandler, Solometto, Harrington, there's this batch of guys that are coming.
But, like, also that batch of guys, that sets you up where that if these guys do pan out, and I know it's early here, and Paul Skenes hasn't pitched a major league inning, Bernardo, do you know where I'm going with it? Those are pieces. Those are pieces that you can build that lineup with, because obviously this team can't develop a hitter worth a damn.
Right.
You can use those now. You've got the top part figured out. We can go back to it all day. The hard part's done. Figure it out from there.
Yep.
Absolutely. 100%. Once you have those top three guys, really, let's say you've got maybe five top three guys and then a couple depth pieces, right? You can always go out there and sign a Martin Perez, right, to fill in a rotation spot. You can always go out there and find a Marco Gonzalez, right? You can always go out there and find these guys. And also, we haven't even mentioned, like, Johan Oviedo is still in the mix, too. He's going to be down the road. So like, you've got all these arms now that you've got at your disposal for a long period of time. That means if you are good at developing pitching prospects, leverage those guys, flip them for major league hitters, because there are a lot of teams out there who want pitching prospects. That's what they want them. They want those guys. And if you can develop them and flip them for teams who are maybe they've got a hitter with an expiring contract, or a hitter who's about to hit free agency the next season, and you can trade, say,
or they Anthony have 38 Stalometto. Hitters like the Baltimore Orioles.
I mean, that's another example. But yeah, I mean, if you can trade an Anthony Solometto because you don't need him, right? And you trade Anthony Solometto for a really good hitter, maybe like year and a half worth of a really good hitter. That's how you build the major league club.
You mean like Lou Bob?
Ooh, I would love me some Lou Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, it is exciting knowing of that part. I know the season's been a little bit tough to this point. Maybe not this year, but next year it does feel like we're finally there.
It stinks that it's taken to the year 2025 to feel that way. But you absolutely do. Time can still, time will still tell. But I mean, we're talking, Jared Jones has pitched 7 games. Skenes has pitched 0. Again, this is all potential. Trust us. Like, this is all potential. But this is like realistic potential. This isn't just like us talking out of our behinds and just, spewing off things. Jared Jones in these 7 games has done stuff that no one else has ever done. So there's reason to believe that this is pretty legit. There's a reason why he's on Pitching Ninja, and Pitching Ninja talks about him day in and day out, and MLB talks about him day in and day out, because this kid is exciting and he's electric and he's only 22. You could say, I mean, like results wise, maybe not, but he's probably going to get better.
That's the thing there is that I feel like we were in, if Paul Skeens were to come up right now, there would be excitement, obviously, because he's Paul Skeens. Jared Jones has ignited a little bit of excitement just organizationally, I think, where that you can actually see the future here.
That's fair. Because also, to your point, Skeens is getting the hype and the excitement because of the potential. Jones is getting it because of short term, right? But because of the reality.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's exciting stuff. I mean, you can't get, but what, I can't remember the last time the Pirates went into a series and you were this excited to watch three pitchers pitch in the series. Like,
right.
You've never been this excited about three pitchers before, back to back to back.
And they might score five runs in the entire series, unfortunately.
Guys, we dreamed about Gerrit Cole, Jameson Taillon, Nick Kingham, Tyler Glasnow.
Bingo.
We actually have our little version here. It didn't work out in that little round there. We have our version.
Which is also why I want to keep adding potential and pump the brakes, because we've lived this. We live the, guys, Gerrit Cole's already here, and look what Jameson Taillon's doing. And have you seen this Glasnow kid? Just wait. And none of that ever happened. Now, this seems more realistic. It's also closer, right? Jones and Skeens here the same year, debuting the same year. And like Bubba being the...
Keller's here too. Like, Keller's all part of this. Yeah. Like, you can't, like, that's the other thing too. Like, you can't just throw Keller out.
True. Dude,
no, that's an all star.
Keller's kind of like the Kingdom.
Yeah. Dude's what an all
star. Well, was going to be.
Yeah. He's already an all star. He's locked up. He's gotten paid. He's coming off a complete game. Like, I think people are down. You guys have been listening to Doug too much.
No, at the very least.
He doesn't have the ceiling that these other two have. Just to simply state, I don't think
he doesn't have the ceiling that
Taillon's ceiling and Gerrit Cole's ceiling was either, right? Or Glasnow's ceiling was. To me, this is kind of like what Kingham's ceiling was. Of course, that was a disaster.
I think you're kind of disrespecting Mitch Keller right now.
Okay, I mean, that like can be
Mitch
fair.
Keller
that
is a good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher, but I don't think he can't do what Jared Jones has been doing. And he did though.
Like Mitch Keller, last year, Mitch Keller, he was in Cy Young conversations.
He didn't do what Jared Jones is doing, because the only people that are doing what Jared Jones is doing are just like Jacob DeGrom and like Max Scherzer.
If you dissect the peripherals, yeah. But like from a pure results standpoint, yeah, he's done what Jared Jones is doing before.
I disagree.
Okay.
So what?
And this is like not to bash him, but he's effective, but not to the degree that Jared Jones. I mean, Jared Jones, again, no one's hitting off of him. He's not walking anybody. He's striking out literally everybody.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's been like 7 stars. Like, yeah. Mitch Keller was unhittable for a month or two. Like, we jumped on this post game every single day begging for a Mitch Keller start, because he was going to go deep into a game and give up no runs. Mitch Keller can be unhittable. We haven't seen it this year. But if he gets back to not the way he was then, because I don't know that he can, but if he gets back to even just the normal Mitch Keller, like the 390 ERA type that just eats the hell out of innings, and you've got Mitch Keller, Jared Jones, once again, it's potential. Paul Skeens is potential. Whoo, that's a problem. Now just hit the baseball.
Yeah, I mean, at this exact date last year, Mitch Keller had made 8 starts. He was 4-1 with the 2.72 ERA and 10.15 strikeouts per 9. He was basically Jared Jones.
Yeah. And he was eating innings too. Like
coming out, he was coming off a complete game shutout.
Yeah, they weren't babying him. Like he had to eat innings. He wasn't taken out early like Jerry Jones has been.
Last three starts up to this point. 10 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts.
But I'm not going to dive too deep because it's I'm not saying like it's so far off. I'm not trying to disrespect them. I'm just saying though that Jared Jones still has done on a whole new level of what Mitch Keller did. Mitch Keller did. Again, like 27% K rate. Jared Jones like 36. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's that much higher.
Yeah.
109 whip, Jared Jones like a 0.7.
Yeah.
That's what I'm alluding to. You know what I mean? Right. Like okay, but anyway,
I'm talking from a pure results standpoint.
That's fair. The long ball has really hurt Jared Jones that aspect also, as a result in the ERA rise, definitely. But again, like that's why. So again, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller, like that number three. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. 1-3 is going to be really, really good,
dude. If you're going to a playoff series and that's your third guy,
mm-hmm.
a guy that can go out there and just throw a complete game whenever he's on. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have to go out there and find guys like that. You already have it. If Paul Skenes and Jared Jones continue doing what Paul Skenes has done in the minor leagues and what we've seen in Georgia, I feel like I have to preface everything because I don't want to be on like old takes exposed here.
Yeah, but I mean, just from FanGraphs does their power ranking, right? And as of right now, Jared Jones, they have him as the 11th best starting pitcher in baseball. Mitch Keller, 68th best starting pitcher in baseball. So if you just kind of assume that Skenes is going to come up here and be top 20 even, right? Then you've got two aces and a number two, basically, in your staff. And teams don't have that.
Can I add a point for you guys also with Mitch Keller to just kind of to give more value?
No, so, you already trashed him enough.
No, you talk about number three who can go out there and give you a complete game shutout or a complete game when he's on. What I want to say is from the beginning of last year to up to this year, right, in 39 straight starts, he hasn't pitched less than 5 innings. So like, even at his worst, he'll go out there and give you 5 innings. And I think that's what people don't credit enough of, especially with pitchers like Mitch Keller. You know, like, oh, this guy stinks. Look at the ERA, whatever. And it's like, he gives you innings, and that's valuable. So at his worst, he's still giving you 5 innings. You're not killing that bullpen.
I guess just where I kind of lean with you here, DiNardo, is what washed up tough guy here says is that Jones things are special. Don't have to read the rest of it, but like you can see when those two guys throw, they can be dominant. Mitch Keller, there are times where you can see the dominance isn't there. Those two guys, you can see there are nights they're unhittable. Mitch Keller, yes, Jim, like we talked about it, going back to last year, he was really, really unhittable early, but those two guys have the stuff that just makes them different.
And that's all I'm getting. Like, that's all I'm getting at.
Yeah, their stuff is clearly better.
Yeah.
Mitch Keller is Mitch Keller. Like we see Mitch mm-hmm. Keller. These two have the ceilings of the Striders and DeGroms. Like you can't say that about right. Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
And it's not to discredit Mitch Keller. Just say like how Tyler said, like there's potentially a DeGrom and a Syndergaard sitting there 1-2. Old school Mets, right?
And then you got and then Harvey behind him.
That's what I was going to say, like a clean Matt Harvey.
Right.
Harvey.
That's a good one.
That, as Tyler said, nobody wanted to face the Mets in the playoffs, except the Kansas City Royals, apparently.
Yeah. But the hard part's done.
Yep.
Now you got to get there.
Should be an exciting weekend.
I can't wait for Saturday. Actually, again, I'm here for Jared Jones and Paul Skeens back to back. I can't wait tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Like, can I just go back to the fact that they're calling him up on May 11th? I trash Ben Sherrington to all hell. I think we all do. He has been good about this part of it where the service time manipulation is a little bit more lenient, maybe. We've seen it with Jared Jones. Now we're seeing it with Paul Skeens. And I'm trying to think. Like Henry Davis last year, jumping up from double A and very few at bats in triple A. Like, we've seen less of the, all right, let's just wait and see till mid-June and then they'll be up. That part I do appreciate. The rest of it, I don't of him, but that part I do enjoy with Ben Sherrington.
He has been more aggressive. Like, I'll give him credit for that too. He's been aggressive with most prospects. They move up rather quickly. And again, we're talking about Henry Davis. As much as we want to see him earlier last year, relatively speaking, that was a quick move from being drafted to the major leagues. Paul Skeens literally drafted a year ago. Not even a year ago. Sorry.
Henry. And then also, like, yeah, like Davis, Skeens, like both of those guys just shot through.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can talk about like the Salamettos of the world. Like he's in, you know, he was in double A last year. Like that's pretty aggressive. So he has been aggressive. I'll say, you know, there is incentive to have guys on opening day. Maybe that helped the Jones decision. There was certainly a need. And he's rewarding them right now because he has a shot to be top two rookie of the year voting. I still question the Skeens situation just for the fact, again, we talked about, you can call him up now. You can send them back down during the middle of the year, the All-Star break, and recoup that and still have server, you know, Super 2. So, like, I'm not ready to write that off and say, oh, look at you, Ben Sherrington. You did this fantastically. I'm happy and surprised because I feel like we're going to find out, like, with the Rowanzi situation, right? As much as he has made you feel a certain way, right? Rowanzi went down and sat there for a month in AAA. We knew that was a service manipulation move, right? They hit it behind innings, which you can say was needed. And you can say the same thing for Paul Skeens. We want to limit the innings.
Yeah, but so, I feel like we're going to find out a lot about his service time manipulation this year because he's got two guys right there that were called up before that deadline that if he sends them back down, we're going to know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if Jared Jones is down for 3 weeks, then we know why. If Skeens is down for three more weeks, then we know why. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how we do it. I mean, you mentioned yesterday on the emergency podcast that there are ways still to quote unquote manipulate their time, especially if you're utilizing the All-Star break to kind of give them a rest, quote unquote rest. You can do that, and you can, it maybe only means they miss two, three starts tops, maybe even just one, but like, we'll see what they do. I think a lot of that's going to depend on one, like, where's the team at, right? Is this team in the thick of things? Are they not in the thick of things? And like, how do they look? If they look good, you know, maybe keep rolling them out there. But if they're starting to struggle and you're maybe starting to see a little bit of wear and tear because they haven't really gone a full workload before, you know, then they have a little bit easier reason to justify it.
I think Jones is going to be the easiest one to decide on that. Skeens, he didn't start. So, like, you're not losing much. But with Jared Jones, you send him down. If he finishes top two, you're not getting that draft pick. So a lot's going to have to be determined at around the All-Star break. Is he still in the conversation? Because like, if he is, you're just shooting yourself in the foot sending him back down, because he if he gets top two, he's just getting that service time anyways, and now you're not getting the pick. So I think that will tell us more than the Skeens, how well he's pitching and what they do with him.
I agree.
Yep. Cool. Well, what else do we want to talk about? Anything?
I think that's all we got. There were a couple questions, like who do we think is the corresponding
move? We didn't get to that one.
For Skeens. I think there's a super duper duper easy way to do this, and it doesn't really mean a whole lot. Yeah, super duper duper. I think
Eric
is what I said.
Longenhagen come on the show.
Super duper duper. And that's you move Marco Gonzalez or Ryan Barucki to the 60-day IL, and you option Quinn Priester. You don't lose anybody. You don't have to DFA anybody. Everybody remains in your organization. You don't lose any depth. I think that's the pretty clear, easy move to do here. You could argue that Priester's been better than Falter, and you could certainly argue that. But starting pitching depth also means something. And if you're talking about DFAing Roansy Contreras and moving Falter to the bullpen and keeping Priester here, then you're taking Falter out of the rotation. You're making it so that he's not stretched out, so that if you need another starting pitcher, you're then forced to go a bullpen game route because you don't have someone already built up to throw starting pitching innings. So, yeah, all you people saying DFA Roansy, not happening. Barucki or Gonzalez to the 60-day IL, Quinn Priester option. I would bet a lot of money that that's the move.
Same. I can bet a lot of money because that's the route I would probably personally go. I can bet a lot of money because we've seen how important that is for Ben Charrington as well. That's the route he's going to go. He will save roster spots as much as he can.
For the record, Jim, at one point while we were playing PlayStation, said that he thought that Bailey Falter was going to the bullpen when Paul Skeens comes up.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
Huh, weird. Who changed your mind?
It may have
Who been. Mentioned Quinn Priester?
I think it was you, yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Huh. Yeah, weird.
But no.
You said like, Paul Skeens ain't coming up for another month at least.
Yeah, I did this. Weird. We've all been wrong. It's fine.
What do you mean we? I've always been right.
Well, that happens when you play middle ground all the time.
Okay, no. You, Mr. Chad Cool, number one fan.
Yeah.
I was right, though. They just ruined him.
But no, I do agree with Jim. Like, Wimpers is the obvious move to go back to AAA. If he would have had a good start last time out, maybe it makes it a little more difficult, but he didn't pitch well enough.
Also,
he's
got to
go back down.
Yeah, that makes it easier for the decision.
I also wonder what would have happened. Like, I wonder what that had to do with this decision. Like, if he would have thrown 6 shutout innings, do you think they go Skeens now?
Yes.
Do you? Okay.
I think it's happening regardless. And it's, well, I can't speak for them. This is me personally. Absolutely.
No shit.
I want Paul Skeens on the team. Don't tell me because Quinn Priester is pitching well, he's going to block Paul Skeens. Like, talk to yourself, Tyler. Talk to
Dude,
like listen.
We had
right?
a month of Bailey Falter blocking
I
him.
I get it. So I'm not talking myself into Paul Skeens being blocked by Bailey Falter and Quinn Priester. He's here. Figure out how you're going to make that happen.
I don't disagree.
But I still think it probably would have been Quinn Priester for all the reasons we talked about. Like until Bailey Falter proves himself that this is a fluke, it's done. Until second half, Jeff Locke appears out of him, right? He's on the team. Like he's giving you every reason to say he's proven himself to be here at this point in time. You have to. And I know Quinn's done well, but it's been limited. He's the prospect. He's the rookie. He just sends down. He has the options. He just gets sent down. It just is what it is at this point in time. It's a good problem to have. Finally, the Pirates have a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a war of attrition. Like at some point, you have to be able to perform, and Quinn Priester didn't. Moving on to the next.
Right.
And he's the most recent guy that has options. Like you got to keep starting arms available.
Yep. And honestly, being closer also to prospect capital.
I agree. Like, I think we're, it's a weird night. We're all on the same page.
I don't like it. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I know. Let's leave.
I feel dirty, like Jim's beard.
Mustache is Saturday, baby.
Tune in. You got to shave it live.
No.
Don't do that. All right, let's get out of here. As always, appreciate everyone for watching. We will be back tomorrow for Jared Jones Day, then back again for Paul Skeens Day, then back again for Mitch Keller Day. Tune in. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Peace out, Scouts.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.